Hi Church family, our heart at Catch the Fire is to provide amazing content, amazing media for free. However, if it's in your heart to sow into the ministry, we would love you to partner with that. Please check out the information on this video for ways you can partner both financially and in terms of volunteering your time. We would love you to be able to partner with the message that we're bringing so that everybody can access this content for free moving forward.
Hey, welcome to church this morning. Why don't you just turn to somebody next to them and give them a smile. Say welcome to church. I'm glad you're here. Who is this? For whom is this the first time at Catch Fire London? Maybe wave a hand at me. Just one. That's not true. You guys are so welcome. Bless you. And students, family, and friends. If you're a friend of a student who just did the School of Ministry, can you just sort of wave your hand if you're here supporting? Thank you, guys. Let's just honor these guys because they do phenomenal support behind the scenes that we don't see, and they release the students to come to us. And so we honor you guys and we thank you. We really value you. Well, it is amazing to be here. I just leant over to Tom. I said, we're doing the students thing tonight as well, aren't we? We're doing these videos tonight. He said, yeah. It's like, oh, great. So it's not just me who has to follow those videos with a talk. Tom gets to tonight as well. How amazing are those testimonies? Just incredible. And, you know, heart, we love miracles. We love healing of the heart. We love seeing backs healed and eyes restored and physical healing miracles. But, you know, it's the miracles of the heart that sometimes are the unseen ones, but they have the most fruit. You know, like I've had physical healings where pain has gone away, and probably the immediate fruit is my day felt better. But a miracle in the heart has fruit and has ripples that go out that affect your relationships, how you invest your time, what your priorities are. And so what these girls have experienced is no minor thing. And so I just want to honor you guys, like just for being vulnerable as well, sharing those things, that's not easy. And it shouldn't be taken for granted. So I can only see Jazz and Sammy, and I'm sure the others are around, but I honor you guys. Oh, you two, person on the floor. Come on. Well, hey, look, I do have a spring in my step because my lady is here. Come on. For any of you guys who thought I was just making her up for 3 years, she's real. I did have a friend once who, when we were about 14 or 15, he called me at like 4:30 in the afternoon and said he'd met a girl on the train home from school, and that he had asked her out. And like, as a 14-year-old, you ask a girl out, that's like major news. And for 6 months, he was telling us about this girl until the end of the 6 months when he admitted that he'd made her up. And we were like, oh, it's so cool. You're going on a date. You went on a third date. How was it? And it's like, yeah, I just need to be honest. She's not real. I was like, what? I don't know why he chose to do that, but Abby's real. It's proof right there. Okay. Stick to the notes, Alistair. Kill the rabbit, shoot the rabbit. Yeah, so I've done more shopping in the last 48 hours than I've done in the last 4 months. Wedding shopping is good fun. It is good fun buying frilly things for decorations. I want you to hear that. That's coming from me. There's no puppet master behind me telling me that it's fun. Wedding shopping is fun, and I'm enjoying, looking forward to doing more of it. Hey, we've been so blessed. This church family, my parents and everything, God has blessed us massively. And I just want to, about a month ago, no, it would have been 2 months ago, we had David Wagner here. We had David Wagner, and he gave a prophetic word to me about 30 days of miracles, 52 days of miracles, and 52 weeks of miracles, which, you know, that's the kind of prophetic word that, you know, I'll take that one, you know. And in the course of that time, I just want to give glory to God. We've had so much money come in. We've had discounts of things. We've had people just offer to pay for things that were on our budget that we've just slashed off the budget. And so I just want to sort of give glory to God that we when we get a prophetic word and it happens and we don't give glory to God, we're basically stealing God's glory. And so we want to give glory to God. And if you would like a 52 weeks of miracles, then why don't you just stand up and Abby and I will just impart that to you from here. We just bless you. And anyone listening on the podcast as well, this is not a prosperity gospel. This is an abundant King that we have. And so if you want it, Father, what you freely gave to me that I just sat there and said yes to, Lord, you've said that you know our need, Matthew 6, you know what we want, Matthew 7, and you can do more than we can imagine, Ephesians 3. And so miracles, provision, support, discounts, abundance in the kingdom so that we can have more than enough to give into the kingdom of God for every hungry heart that wants it. I suggest you just say, yes, I'll have it. It's mine. That will be yes for me and my family. Pull it down in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on. Well, I don't quite know how this is going to go because I want to do some testimony stuff, but I also want to do some go through some scriptures, and I also want to get to ministry, and I also want to make sure everybody can go see the England game. And so I don't quite know whether I'm going to sort of go off the map and do a sort of walk around, forget my notes thing like last time, or whether I'm going to just stay glued to them. So if you can just sort of go with me whatever direction I go and just receive your own encounter with God as I speak, then that would be excellent. Amen? Cool. Well, Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Honored guest, best friend, Lord of all, we welcome you here. And Lord, I just pray that as I speak this morning, your words would be fashioning my words. Your voice would be heard over my voice. And Lord, whatever the point of encounter, whatever the point of breakthrough is that each person in this room needs, Lord, that you would individually meet each of your children where they are. And Lord, as Stu's been saying for weeks, you take us a step deeper. You take us a step deeper into you. Would you take me a step deeper into you? When you put a hand on your heart, just speak that over yourself. Speak that to God. Would you take me a step deeper, God? Amen. There's a slightly odd sound that sounds a little bit like a balloon deflating happening on the stage. If you notice that, just feel free to ignore it now that I've drawn your attention to it. Okay, so what I want to talk about today is, it's been on my mind a lot, being, for those who are new, who don't know me or anything about my story, Abby and I have been together for about 3 years now, and I met Abby in Minnesota, in America, and I'd gone on a mission trip to the States, and I was meant to be going to Nicaragua to go on a mission trip with Abby's pastors. And I flew to the States, got in fine, no problem. And then when it came to going down to Nicaragua, they wouldn't let me fly because they said I had less than 6 months to run on my passport. Thanks for the empathy, Danji. Now, it was confusing because I was surprised that the Nicaraguan government had a slightly more stringent sort of immigration policy at the time than it seemed that getting into the US did. But they let me into the US, but they wouldn't let me fly down to Nicaragua. And so I ended up staying there, and Abby and I met each other, and the first sparks of romance arose, and Abby did her best to resist, but she wasn't humanly capable of resisting my charms. And yeah, so that's pretty much how it happened. But we met, and then from the time onwards, then for the next 3 years, we did long distance. And I don't know how many people in the room have experienced long distance. I know Matt and Kate have, and Fiona and others have. It's a really interesting experience, and it has, it takes you by surprise, and you have to do a lot of managing your heart when you're doing long distance. And what I wanted to talk about today is I want to talk about distance, and I want to ask the question, what do you do with distance? What do you do with distance? Because at any given point in our lives, there is likely to be something that we want or something we want to step into that is not in our atmosphere right now. It's not in our in proximity to us. We're somewhere and the thing that we want is somewhere else and we're not in it yet. Equally, there may be some things that are in our lives and are in our proximity, but we're treating them like they're distant. And what I want to do just for this morning, this is kind of where I'm going. This is sort of my goal, that when we discern a distance between ourselves and the thing that God's put on our heart, God wants us to lean forward in faith rather than step back into self-preservation. When we discern a distance between ourselves and the thing that God's put on our hearts, he wants us to lean forward in faith rather than step back into self-preservation. Now, I'm going to explain a bit about what I mean by this, and then when we get to the end, I wasn't planning on this, but the girls' testimonies were just phenomenal. And if you're listening on the podcast, I'm sure they'll be available on our website or on Facebook. But I'm going to ask the girls to be ministry team later, if that's all right with you, the School of Ministry students. In most of the pastoral meetings I do, in most of the discipleship I do, I think this is pretty common across the church. Everybody is usually coming with a need, something that they want, something that they see is either out there or happening in the world, or happening in our church that they want to step into, but they realize that they're not there yet. There's a distance, there's a gap. And all of us have this going on to some degree or another, and it's been really interesting. We've had this season of fire in the church for the last sort of couple of months. If you haven't been in Catch Fire London, a few months ago, I mean, we're called Catch the Fire, so the fire should not be absent from our church. The power and the presence of the Holy Spirit should not be something that we sort of experience a couple of times a month or, you know, a couple of times in the year. But we've had this season recently when our senior leaders, Stu and Chloe, who are on holiday at the moment, they came back from a conference and they were just, there was something different that had happened, something extra, something deeper that they'd experienced. And they brought this fire back. And like kindling, it just erupted around the church. And there were people on their, like we have people on our faces quite a lot. We have people crying quite a lot. Ellie Worthington. we have people experiencing emotion of the presence of God, but there was something different about this season, and we're still in it now. And what's really interesting for me is that there's been this perhaps two responses, if it's fair to say, and I think it is, of some people who have lent into it and some people who have stepped back from it. Some people have been leaning in, and some people have been stepping back. Now, I'm not judging the stepping back, but what I want to talk a little bit today is why we step back and what we can do to correct that so that we lean in. Because often what leads us to step back is not a godly motivation. It's something to do with self-preservation. It's something to do with how we see ourselves and something to do with our identity. Now, all of the girls in their testimonies, to some degree or another, referenced how they had taken a step back because of some of the insecurities and some of the fears they were feeling about their life. And so it's not an uncommon thing to feel like stepping back, even from something that you really, really want. It's not uncommon. It seems counterintuitive, but sometimes we really, really want something, we still step back from it. And so I want to just have a look through a few scriptures, and then I want to talk a little bit about what Abby and I have experienced. And I'm hoping when we get to the end, my goal to get to the end is just to repent for ways that we've stepped back, forgive anyone that we need to forgive, allow God to forgive us, and allow him to give us a new truth that we can step into so we can start experiencing some of the freedom that we actually want. So that's where I'm going to end. Is that good? Okay, four people are on board. Come on. Okay, scripture's littered with people who are stepping in and stepping back. You could find sort of 400 examples, but Luke 15, the older brother. This is Luke 15, verse 28. But the older brother became angry. This is the parable of the prodigal son. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your order, but you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who squandered all your property and on food and fine living and prostitutes, comes back, you kill the fattened calf for him. There's a son who wants something. He wants his father's love, but he's staying outside of his father's love. The disciples, they watch in Matthew 26, a woman came with an alabaster jar of expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' head while he's reclining at the table. The disciples said, why is this waste? This perfume could be sold at a high price, money given to the poor. Jesus says, why are you bothering this woman? She's done a beautiful thing. The poor you'll always have with you, but you won't always have me. She poured the perfume on me to prepare me for burial. I tell you, wherever the gospel is preached in the world, what she's done will be told as well. Disciples so keen to be around Jesus, yet so leaning back at the sight of someone adoring Jesus. That doesn't make sense. Luke 7, the Pharisees complaining about the woman who's anointing Jesus with their hair. These are men who are guarding the law, the worship of God, yet they are interrupting the worship of God with their religion. Deuteronomy 5. This is just a scattering. We're not going to spend too much on any of these. This is Moses speaking to the people. At that time, I stood between the Lord and declared to you the word of the Lord because you were too afraid of the fire and wouldn't go up the mountain. You're God's people, but you don't want to go to the mountain. They want the leadership of the Lord. They want the movement of the Lord, but they're too afraid to go to the Lord. Exodus 20. This is the people now speaking to Moses. Speak to us yourself and we will listen, but do not have God speak to us or we will die. Okay, can you go to the fiery furnace of God's presence, find out what he says, and then come tell us. We'll wait here. They want the presence of God, but not enough to go to the presence of God. And then Samuel and Saul later on. I'm going to speak a little bit, hopefully, about Saul just to finish, but Saul says this incredible thing. King Saul in 1 Samuel 15. Where is it? Let's go here. I have sinned, yet honor me now before the elders of the people and before Israel, and return with me, that I may bow before the Lord your God. This is the king of Israel talking to the prophet of Israel saying, let me come and worship your God. The king, the appointed king of Israel, speaking to the prophet, the spiritual leader of Israel, and saying, let me come and worship your God. This is somebody who has been placed in a position by God and yet doesn't seem to even know who God is. Scripture is full of examples of people who are both close to God and also leaning away from God. Both close to the thing they want and also leaning away from it. And I think this is a human trait. I think it would be very easy to say, you know, like the goal of this preach, the goal of the end of today's ministry is to, let's all trust God more and let's choose to trust him in the face of difficult circumstances. Amen? Are we all happy with that? Okay, let's stand up and do ministry. Like we could just land that. I don't think anybody in this church or listening needs another message saying, when things get hard, just, you know, trust God. Not because that's untrue, but because we kind of all know that, don't we? Like we don't need to be told to trust him. Our heads don't need to be told to trust him. Our hearts need a revelation to trust him. That's very different. There's a very big difference between the two. Our hearts need a revelation, but our heads, we don't need more information to trust God. This entirety of scripture is filled with reasons why we should trust him. As somebody said earlier, I think it was in one of the songs, it was talking about, I don't have a testimony, I don't have a time when you've ever let me down. Like, I've got times when I've let myself down in my history, I've got times in my history when other people have let me down. I've got no evidence in my life of any scenario where God has let me down. No, I just couldn't point to one. That's not because I don't have failure in my past, but I don't have a testimony of God not being there for me. And in Scripture, it is full of testimonies, full of reasons why we should trust God. And so I don't feel like I need to preach that we should just hunker down and trust him. What I do think God wants to do is minister in our hearts for the reasons why, when push comes to shove, our fear or anxiety causes us to lean back and not trust him. Because everything in my head knows it's right to trust him. Yet everything in my body and my heart is causing me to do this, just to step back. Because my fears, my anxieties, my uncertainties, my fear about my own identity are so powerful that they can rise up and they can override all of the good common sense theology that I've got up here. Am I the only one who experiences this? Okay. Now, let me give some testimonial. I'm going to come back to Scripture. Let me bring some testimony in. So, with Abby and I, we've definitely got our money's worth from FaceTime. Okay? Like, we have video messaging has done its job. WhatsApp voice messages have done their job. We were able to maintain a lot of relationship through the connection of technology. That was amazing. But one of the most interesting things about Abby and I's relationship that I think we both experienced is we are engaged still, and we have this connection of relationship where we're committed to each other, where we've chosen each other, we've set each other apart, and yet it still has been entirely possible for us to live as single people during our relationship. Because we set our times to talk, we date them, we have a time in the diary when we speak, and we speak for the duration of that time, and then the moment we both hang up, she goes back to being a single person and I go back to being a single person. Now, it doesn't mean that either of us are going off and hanging out with, she's going out with guys and I'm going out with other girls. It's not going back to a single person like that. I'm not dating. But my lifestyle remains, for all intents and purposes, single. Even though we're engaged, we're together, and Abby's does as well. I spend my money the way I want to spend it. I use my time the way I want to use it. I don't ask for permission what time I should go to bed, or I don't go on unwanted shopping trips. Not unwanted. Trips that are not the highest priority in my day, that whatever. Yeah. I love you. Reel it in. But I have autonomy over my life. And what happens, and year before last, what Abby and I found had happened was we were very good at scheduling our dates and our times to have intimacy, but then we both found in our own way that we just settle back into the single life. The moment that the call is over, the moment the video message is done, we just settle back in. Right, what do I want to do? What's my plan? What's my schedule? I'm going to use the time however I choose to. And it's not that I'm not committed, and it's not that she's not committed to me, but our lifestyle isn't necessarily reflecting the complete intimacy that we should be having. And if we were together, as we have found out even these last 2 days, you have so much more dialogue and communication about what you're going to do with your time, your money, your minutes, your priority when you are in someone's presence. You have so much. And this is what happens when you are separated, when there is distance. You can be engaged, but you can still be single. You communicate, but it's on your own terms and your own time frame. You can be committed, but also live a date-based relationship, an event-based relationship. Is anyone seeing the direction I'm going here? I can be in relationship with God. I can be in relationship with God, but I can still have distance from him. I can be committed to him but still live a single lifestyle. I can communicate with God but on my time and on my preference and in my time zone and at my choice. I can have the most fiery relationship with God in the morning service, the evening service, my fire group on Monday, my burning night worship on Sunday, and maybe a couple of meetings in between. But then the rest of the time is up to me. Now, this may not be, you may be thinking, oh yeah, this is the message about the sort of 24/7 God, 24/7 relationship. Yeah, it is about that. But it's so easy. It's so easy to settle into a routine where you are compartmentalizing your relationship with God and you become content with distance. You become content with distance. You become content with a certain level of relationship. And we don't even realize it. That's the scary thing. We don't even realize it. And what I felt God wanted to do today was just in the few moments we've got remaining, just to draw our attention just to a couple of things, because I'm looking in the church and I think we're very good as people at discerning distance. I think we're very good at discerning when we have distance between us and something that we want. And in the church, in the last few months, some of the conversations I've had more than any with people are, I don't feel like I've got the fire. Like what Stu brought back from Toronto, I haven't got that. I can't do that. I'm not emotionally feeling aggressively excited for the presence of God. I'm not banging the stage during worship. That's not me. I don't have the fire, therefore I'm going to step back from whatever this is because I can't access it. That's not me. I'm not in it. I didn't receive the revelation, so I'm going to step back. And actually, shouldn't we be spending more time talking about the Bible than worshiping for another 40 minutes? Or actually, you know, shouldn't we be doing more ministry, more impartation than waiting on the Spirit? Shouldn't we start filling in gaps because we can't access something? Because we feel a distance, we feel a gap. We start filling it in with our own solutions. Does anyone ever do that? I can't access this, and so I'm going to step back from it and now start rationalizing why it's wrong. Another conversation I have a lot is I don't feel connected relationally with people. I don't feel connected. I don't feel like I've got the friendships. I don't feel like I've got the relationships. I don't feel like I've got the connection. Other people look like they've got it, but I don't. So I'm going to take a step back here. You guys, you're all in a clique. You're all in a clique together. I can't get in. There's no way of penetrating this clique. I can't get in. I'm going to step back. This isn't on me. This is on you. I'm going a bit serious. I hope this is all right. But church, I want to be a member of the church. I want to be a member of the family. Do I have to? It seems like I have to be Stu and Chloe's best friend or Tom and Abby's best friend or Alistair's best friend to be part of the group. I'm not. So I'm going to take a step back. Maybe I'm going to check out some other churches. Maybe I'll go to one of those churches that's got like lights and stewards who take you to your seat and stuff like that. Those are great churches. Don't diss those churches at all. But maybe one that's got double the amount of small groups, something. I can't break in. I'm going to take a step back. I've got distance between where I am and where I want to go. It doesn't seem like it's working for me, so I'm going to take a step back. And then I'm going to engage my cerebral, my intellectual, my analytical, and come up with a reason, a justification why it's not on me, it's on them. I've done this for a large portion of my life. I've done this for a real large portion of my life. And so I point one finger at you and I point three back at myself. The dangers of distance when you feel it. Dangers of distance is you become inclined to control and maintain your independence to protect and self-preserve. Let me say that again. You become inclined to control and maintain your independence to protect yourself and self-preserve. You withdraw intimacy and vulnerability from God, and you move into analyzing and justifying. You blame circumstances, people, for your diminished intimacy or the distance you're feeling. You're inclined to make allies with people who are feeling equally disconnected, stranded, or rejected. You start distorting your view of yourself and others, and you take it upon yourself to plug the gap with whatever will satisfy it quickest. Ravi Zacharias says this, that God gives us the sacred prerogative of choice, but he does not give us the privilege of determining a different outcome for the choice that we make. The choice is bound to the outcome. So God gives us the choice to lean in or to step back. He doesn't push us in, nor does he yank us back. He gives us the choice. When we're feeling distance between ourselves, you may be coming in, you may have been coming the last few weeks, and you're looking at Matt worship and just thinking, oh, my word, the way that Matt worships just undoes me. I want it so much, but I also feel so far away from how he worships. I'm so hungry for it, and yet I also feel so far away. What do you do in that moment? What's your response? Or you come in and you see Anna, I'm going to say Omakaro, Anna Harrison, Anna O. Harrison, as we like to call her. Anna and Justin, you see them hugging everyone. And you're like, they seem to know everyone in the church. And everyone in the church seems to know them. And I walk in and I'm kind of drifting near someone, hoping they'll give me a hug. What do you do when you see somebody in relationship, in connection? What goes on in your heart and your head? What do you do when you notice that there's a gap, there's a distance you want to walk into? What do you do in those moments? Like for Abby and I, when we're noticing that there's this distance of an ocean, and time zones as well. Let me tell you, time zones are a real pain in the butt. Because when Abby's messaging me, it's the middle of her day, she's in work mode. She wants to get things done. When I'm in the UK, I'm at like 10 p.m. I want to chill. I want to connect. You know, like, tell me, let's connect. Let's get our hearts connected. And Abby's like, yeah, I want to do the spreadsheet. And we have this strange disconnection where we've experienced it. We've experienced it for 3 years. We really have. What do you do to fill that gap? God's going to let us decide what we want to do. And I'm coming into land here. That's the biggest lie any preacher ever told. I'm coming into land. I've been looking a lot at Saul. I was going to read it through, but I'm 1 Samuel 15. I encourage you just to read it. It's the story of basically how Saul lost his kingship. God asked him to do something. He says, I need you to go and conquer these people. I need you to destroy them completely. Because the people of Israel are so fragile that any influence from other gods, other nations, is going to knock them off course. It's going to take their gaze away from me, and it's going to lead them down a dark path. So in this case, I need you to destroy everything. And Saul says, okay, I hear you. I understand. He goes off. He fights the battle. He wipes them out, except for their king, who he captures, and also some of their prize assets, their cattle and their cows and things like that. Saul doesn't see any problem with this. But Samuel, the prophet, says, well, what do you think you're doing? You were told to wipe out everything. And he said, yeah, I did. I wiped out everything. I mean, I kept the good stuff, but I did what you asked me to. In the process, he goes and sets up an altar, a monument to himself. And Samuel comes and says, what's going on? He's like, I did what you said, Samuel. Everything is destroyed. And Samuel says, uh-huh, so what's this bleating of sheep I hear? Like, he calls him on it. And Saul tries to get out of it. He tries to wriggle his way out of it. And in the end, he gets convicted. Samuel just won't let him wriggle out of it. And he says, you're right, I've sinned. Please, though, don't dishonor me in front of the people. Keep my public perception positive, and I'll go with you and worship the Lord your God. This man, chosen by God to have this intimate relationship, this powerful position, this God-anointed position, and yet so far away, so much distance between where he is and where his heart should be. And what God's been saying to me is that when you lose your focus, like Saul did, you start wandering down a path that leads you further and further away from the thing that you most desperately want. Saul is a life that lost its focus. It's a tragic story. It's a tragic story, Saul's life. Positionally and geographically, he was so close to God, yet he was so far in his heart. He was full of strategies to try and play the game and get what he desired, but he had no humility, no vulnerability, no grace. What Saul chose to do, if you look through the story, he tried to play the priest. He tried to do Samuel's job. He made a lot of snap decisions in a moment. I could read it through. We don't have time, but he made a lot of snap decisions in a moment without thinking. And you watch his story, you watch his life gradually get further and further away from the person he was called to be. This distance gets bigger and bigger, and he keeps trying to fill it with solutions each time. And Samuel says to him, like, does God prefer sacrifices, or does he just want you to do what he asks you to do? Does he want your acts of sacrifice, of killing cows and all of these things, does he want all of that, or does he just want you to listen to his voice? Which one do you think he wants? And Saul just doesn't seem to get it. All of us in this room have a level of, we are somewhere and there's something that we're desperately chasing. It may be a ministry, it may be a family, it may be closeness with God. What I want you just to do, just for a moment, and we are coming, circling the airport now, looking for a runway. Why don't you just close your eyes right now? What is it on your heart that as you sit here, I've been to a degree, I've been general as I've been speaking, because I know that there are some people here who you've been struggling the last few weeks because you've been looking around you and you've been seeing other people weeping and dancing and pressing into the presence of God. And in your heart of hearts, you've been thinking, that's not me. I'm not there. Or you've been looking at other people in relationship, marriage, dating, friendship, and thinking, I don't have that. There's a distance between me and that thing. Or there's a job, there's a career, there's a calling that you want to step into. And you just feel so far from it at the moment. You feel like there's a distance, a gap. And I want you to ask, Holy Spirit, how have I been managing that distance? How have I been managing that distance? How have I been dealing with that in my heart? Have I been leaning in, or have I been leaning back? And if you've been trying to fill the gap with quick solutions, quick fixes, if you've been trying to fill it with, well, just say it, with judgment about others, well, it's all right for them. It's all right for them. It's all right for them. They're connected in relationship. They're married. They're on team at the church. They know loads of people. They walked into their ministry. They're naturally gifted. They come from a rich family. If you've been filling it with those thoughts, then the Father is going to want to release you of those thoughts this morning. I want you just to stay in that place with the Holy Spirit. We're going to go into ministry in a second. You know, Scripture is full of people missing the mark, losing their focus. It's also full of people who lent in. Despite what was going in, they lent in. Peter, in John 21, his first conversation with Jesus since denying that he even knew him. Jesus says, will you build my church? He says, yes, I will. I love you. He lent in. The woman with the alabaster jar, Matthew 26, knowing that everybody in the room knew she was a sinner. She lent in to Jesus. She wiped his feet with her hair. The criminal hanging on the cross, Luke 21, admitted that he'd fallen short, and even in the place of being nailed to a tree, he lent in to Jesus, remember me in your kingdom. The son in Luke 15, the prodigal son returning home, his heart turned towards the father. He leant in and the father met him. Really, when it comes down to it, and just stay with Holy Spirit for a moment here. When it comes down to it, we're really asking ourselves one question. Am I dealing with this issue and this longing and this distance? Am I dealing with this like a son would or like an orphan would? Am I being a spiritual son of God here who trusts that his father is both capable and able and willing to help me cover this distance? Or am I dealing with it like an orphan where fixing this issue is solely down to me? Am I dealing with it as a son or as an orphan? That's ultimately where the question is. My favorite scripture in all the Bible is Luke 15. I probably preached about it more than anything else. And it's because when the son comes to his senses, he really doesn't go very far. He doesn't travel very far before the father just rushes upon him, hugs him, tackles him to the ground. The son's leaning into the father is noticeably less than the father's sprinting to him. But he gets his heart in the right direction. He stops trying to fix it. And I just as you're closing your eyes, we're just gonna step into some ministry now. But just as you step in, I feel the Father is just saying that one of the messages for today is please stop trying to fix it all yourself. Please stop trying to fix it all yourself. Would you lean back into me? You know, Abby and I had to get real. We had to realize that just because we were having scheduled dates, it didn't mean we were necessarily building intimacy. We had to build our heart connection. We had to ask each other, how's your heart? Are we connected right now? And the Father wants to ask that question, how's your heart? Are we connected right now? Because you've got a distance you want to carry from where you are to where you're going. There's a distance you want to cover. Would you let me take you? Would you lean into me? I'm going to read through a prayer, and I'd like you to read it with me and apply it to yourself. And I don't apologize for this being a little bit more somber or a little bit more serious, because I'd rather do heart stuff that got me free than hype stuff that got me excited until lunchtime. So I ask you to encourage you just to, you can stand, you can stretch out your hands, you can do whatever you like. Focus and connect on God, and we're going to clear some stuff out of the way. We're going to clear stuff out of the way that stopped us from covering the distance from where we are to where the Father wants us to be. We're going to confess, we're going to forgive, we're going to receive, we're going to renounce and break agreements with silly theology or homemade rationale. And I'm believing in faith that people's lives will change as a result of this prayer. If you want it to. So you can repeat after me. I confess my sin of believing the lie that and you need to fill in that for yourself. I'm on my own. this is the way it has to be. I'm not going to get married. I'm not going to be plugged in. I'm not going to have the fire. Whatever it is that you've been carrying, that you have felt distance with, I confess the sin of believing the lie that I'm on my own. I'm on the outside. I'm on the periphery. I'm not in people's minds. I'm not in the Father's minds. Just speak it out. You can whisper it, whatever it is. And we'll carry on. I forgive those who have contributed to me forming this belief. And just ask, who is it? It may well be the leadership of this church. It may well be some of your best friends. Just speak their names out. I forgive you, Mom. I forgive you, Dad. I forgive you, Pastor Stu and Chloe and Pastor Tom and Abby. I forgive you, worship team. I forgive you, Alistair. I forgive you, my fire group leaders. I forgive you, previous church pastors. I forgive you, friends. I forgive you, all of my friends who have got married, all of my friends who have had kids, all of the ones who have made me feel pressured or who I've received pressure from. Just anyone who's spoken that over you. I ask you, Lord, to forgive me for receiving this lie, for living my life based on it, and for any way that I've judged others because of it. I receive your forgiveness. And I want you to stand now. I receive your forgiveness. Step out of it. On the basis of your forgiveness, Lord, I choose to forgive myself. And you speak it out. I forgive you. I forgive you, Alistair. I forgive. Say your name. I forgive myself for any way that I have locked myself in a cage, for any way that I've restricted myself. I forgive you. And on the basis of your forgiveness, Lord, I renounce and break my agreement with restriction, with lack, with all lies from the pit of hell. I cancel my agreement with the kingdom of darkness and any agreements I've made with demons. And I choose to accept, believe, and receive the godly truth that ask him. What is the truth he's speaking over you over this situation? You may have no idea how to ask God for what he says. Let me give you the crash course. Fix your eyes on Jesus Christ. Quieten your heart down. Ask the Holy Spirit to come and ask for his word in your life. And if it's a condemning word that makes you feel terrible, it is not the voice of God. If it's analyzing, is this me, is this God, is this me, is this God, just tell that to settle down. If it's encouraging, if it speaks to your identity as a son or a daughter, if it lifts you up and builds you up, that's the voice of God. I accept, believe, and receive the truth that the fire is available to me. The fire is available to me. Relationship. True, deep, connected relationship is available to me. My life's goal, ministry, is still on the table. It's still available. Being connected into this family is not a pipe dream. Hearing the voice of God is not a fantasy. I receive the truth. I'm going to ask girls, if you come up and just form a line. Each one of these girls has a breaker anointing right now from what they've just shared in their testimony. They have received breakthrough. If you would like to have breakthrough, if you feel that your feet have become stuck in this thing that has been restricting you, step into distance. Step into that thing that feels at a distance. If you feel you've been stuck in your place, then I would like you to come up and just receive a word from one. Receive a touch from one of these girls. These will be our ministry team. We'll do, guys, you're allowed to come up as well. If we could just have a couple of male ministry members just to come along as well, just to be in between the girls, a couple of our male ministry team. What are we doing in this ministry time? You're getting blessed to have breakthrough where you need it. Finances, relationship, being connected, getting the fire, whatever it is, you know what the Father has put in your heart. The hungry and desperate get fed in the kingdom. And if you just want to receive from where you are, that's fine. You don't have to come up. Girls, if you just want to bless and send off, we'll do this quite quickly. I just want to release anyone of any condemnation that feels like, I don't know, just anyone who's just feeling like they've done a bad job, anyone who's just feeling like they've messed it up, they've messed relationship, or they've messed up the thing they were chasing after. I just want to break off any condemnation that you're feeling. It's not the Father's heart that you would be condemned, that you would feel any negative feeling from Him. He wants you to be free. And so just come up, just come and then go to one of the girls. We could have a couple more ministry team. That would be amazing. Just while you're coming up, I want to give an impartation to all of you as well. And you can just stretch out your hands to receive this, because Abby and I couldn't fix the ocean. We couldn't remove it. We'd made a commitment with our jobs. We had to wait. We couldn't remove the ocean. So what we needed to do was decide how intentional we were going to be with what we had in front of us. And we chose intimacy. We chose connection. We chose that despite this mountain that's before us, we are going to press in. We're going to lean into God, and we're going to lean into each other. And although the ocean stayed where it was and the distance remained the same, everything changed between us. And our intimacy grew, and our relationship grew, and the distance, although frustrating, stopped looking so intimidating. And so if there's a situation right now and you're just, for whatever reason, it doesn't feel like it can change. For whatever reason, just at the moment, even with the supernatural power of God, it may be you're separated from someone. It may be that you just have a commitment to be in a job or in a role, or you've got to just hang on. You've got to be patient. If there's some situation that you're in right now and you're just, you know that you've got to bear with, you've got to just get through it, then I just want to give an impartation to you right now. And if that's you, just stretch out your hands. Father, I want to bless every single person in this room who has a situation in front of them that maybe at the moment that you're calling them to manage their heart through it. You're not calling them out of it. You're not looking to change it, but you want them to manage their heart and have the most godly attitude in it. I want to bless every single person in the room who has that situation right now, who has something in front of them that just needs to be dealt with, managed, journeyed through. I impart right now the patience, the endurance, the grace that the Father gave me and Abby. I impart it to you, that you would receive it for you in your situation, and the grace that's able to take us through situations that normally wouldn't be bearable, I impart to you right now. And if you want it, just claim it. I claim it for me. And I bless you for success. I bless you to have godly patience that carries you through to the end. And we're going to have a softer ministry close. So you can come up if there are other needs. You want to just be prayed for by our team. You just want to be blessed in whatever's going through. It may have nothing to do with what I preached about. Come up and just, we want to lay hands on, we want to bless. But I bless all of you right now to see the distance reduce between you and the thing that God has put on your heart. I bless you to be a David and not a Saul. In Jesus' name, amen.